Former star and Collingwood recruiting guru and Adelaide Crows recruiting guru Matt Rendell about to join me. A couple of your texts on the Speckle text, 0433 98 11 16. Speckle cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. One here from Dom, watching from the top deck at venues the past 20 years. The MCG offers so much more width than Marvel, especially on the flanks, which aren't measurable, so you often get two completely different styles of games. The MCG just feels so much bigger than Marvel. I agree with that, absolutely. Dwayne, Tony from Perth here. WA Police Commissioner Chris Dawson said last week that once visiting footballers have done their 2 weeks isolation, they would be able to enjoy the same privileges and freedoms as the rest of WA. Cheers, mate. Keep up the good work. They can if the AFL lets them. So the AFL, from my understanding, is not going to let the players have quite the same freedom. They're not allowed to have the same freedom in every other state. They have the opportunity to play golf in some circumstances, just like they are in the hub in Queensland at the moment. Go surfing, things like that might be an option for them in Perth as well, but they're trying to work through all that. I don't think they'll have complete freedom like WA patrons have. Dwayne, zero cases of COVID in northeast Victoria. Hasn't been a case since March. Regional Victorians are ultimately being made to pay the price. Regional Victoria might open up before the city does, depending on how the government looks at it, because regional Victoria has done a pretty good job. And one here, thanks, Dwayne, for clarifying to Max. This is from Jen in New South Wales. Max having some derogatory words to say about wives and partners of players early, and I did shut him down. I didn't like what he had to say. But thanks, Dwayne, for clarifying to Max. The 1950s are over. Amazing, but some of us actually earn more than our male partners. As I said earlier on, there might be some female partners and wives who tell their players to stay home from hubs because they need to look after the kids and the wife partner has to go to work. Others have actual lives and jobs and need their fellas to be genuinely part of the team at home. Jen in New South Wales. Thanks for that, Jen. Matt Rendell joins me. Dwayne's World for Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. Robotbuildingsupplies.com.au and powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Welcome to you, Matt. Great to have you back on.
Oh, hello, Dwayne. How you going, mate? Yeah, pleasure to be here.
And some kids' footy starting up. You got school footy. You got the Sandful back. You got the Waffle back. The VFL is about to start. The under-18 competition is going to give us a six-week fixture. So it's not far away from being back in a limited full swing.
It is. The college footy's going to come back first later this month, which is really good. A lot of great kids in this year's draft playing college footy. It's not the same standard as your NAB competition, and the bottom half of the team sort of fall away a bit, but it's still definitely worthwhile. Very hard to judge them on draft out of the college system. That's why you need to see them play NAB footy and play the best footy they can. But it's still good to watch, and then we'll get some NAB footy where you'll get to watch everyone, and they'd be certainly looking forward to that. I know they've been doing a fair bit of training, obviously, in little groups and all that, but they'll be looking forward to playing, at least getting probably 8 games away. Is that what we're hearing at the moment?
Yeah.
And possibly no finals, and that Vic Country will play a Vic Metro team. At some stage, it'll be late September, October, maybe. They're not going to have a championship, so I'm hearing, but obviously teams from the Allies, South Australia and WA won't be playing against each other. And they're still looking to have that futures game. Well, not that it's not a futures game, it'll be the draft game this year, but they normally play on grand final day, where they have basically the best 50 players going around playing against each other. It's normally a futures, sorry, I tell a lie. It was a futures last year, but it'll be probably a game where they try and bring everyone together and play a game on grand final day, so everyone can have a look at the best 50 kids going around anyway for this year's draft.
I spoke to Brian Cook from the Cats a week ago. He said that they're getting a few of the Geelong recruiting staff are back on deck. They're starting to get motoring. How's Collingwood? When are you back on deck? Are you back on deck?
Do you know a date? I'm ex-Collingwood now, Dwayne, just to let you know. I went to part-time at the end of last year, but my part-time job was gone in March this year when footy was suspended. Okay. So I got a phone call from Jeff Foster to tell me that was no longer available. So Obviously, last year I did the futures. I did 16 and 17, so I did a fairly large report on that. They don't have a good handle, the Collingwood people, on what's coming up the draft. But, you know, they've got a NGA kit around pick 20, maybe between 20 and 30 that they're going to be in. That they've invested a lot of time and into, and he'll be... well, look, he's got a bad back, Reece McGuinness, and whether he gets up and plays, I don't know. But I certainly had him in the 20 to 30 bracket. But I think most clubs have got their list manager back because of AFL games, and they've certainly got their recruiting manager back, and a lot of them have just got the two people doing stuff at the moment. A lot of them are doing interviews, so we've got school holidays. So a lot of them are doing interviews with kids on Zoom at the moment. Wow. So they're going to be extremely busy. They'll have 2 weeks of full-on interviews with AFL clubs via Zoom. So pretty busy period for clubs and the kids that haven't played a game yet this year.
So how do they do that, the clubs? Does the coach be part of that, or their list manager, or their whole recruiting staff get in a room?
Probably list manager and recruiting manager. We'll be sitting there doing one after the other all day, every day for a couple of weeks. Normally interviews where you'd go to someone's house or they would come to the club. But, you know, it doesn't look like they're going to get to be able to do face-to-face this year. It's pretty hard to tell, isn't it, at the moment, unless they find a vaccine in the very near future. So this is the best. It's about the only way you can do it at the moment. They're doing it by Zoom. I think they got a few interviews away, Dwayne, before March. I know we like to interview a lot of kids in that school holiday period, December, January, even into February and March before they got stuck into their footy. So a lot of these clubs would have already interviewed a lot of these kids anyway. So they'd have a good handle on them from a personality point of view.
So you've already got a dossier. We spoke about this a few weeks ago, a dossier, a document that you provided Collingwood on just about every kid that's available this year in the draft from the age of 15 or 16. So that's already a broad-ranging understanding of what they provided for a couple of seasons. So in essence, what they do for this 6 or 8 or 10-game period that we get from them is either reconfirming or jumping out of the pack.
Yes, well, look, it is. I find it very hard to predict from even a 17-year-old to an 18-year-old to the 18-year-olds. We rarely get, I reckon, the most we've ever picked, if we've picked it in, tried to pick the top 15 in the draft in a February or March. The most we've ever got is about 8 out of the top 15. So
right.
It shows you how much it changes. Someone like, for example, let's say Oliver. Oliver was not even on the radar at the start of the year and ended up being a pick 4. So they change a lot from the 17 to 18 year. I saw a practice match against NEM Dragons, played Oakley earlier this year, February, and there was a kid in the ruck for NEM Dragons I did not even see last year, and I thought, well, if he's not top 15, I'll give the game away. So some people, you know, they have injury years in their 17th year. Sometimes they're physically not ready or mentally not ready, or they're putting their time into school and put more time into their draft year. That happens a lot. So it's very hard to predict. And there'll be some blokes who I've rated highly who will drop off the radar as well.
Yeah.
We often see that. Someone like, I'll tell you a classic example, like Sun Walters. He played the best under 16 games I've ever seen. I think he had 44 up in Queensland, and I thought, oh, this place going in the top 3 in the draft. Well, do you know where he ended up? He ended up about 50,
yeah,
I think,
right,
in the draft. Maybe a bit higher than that. But he had a pretty average 18th year. And look at him now. He's playing like, you know, it took him a while, but he's playing like a top 3 pick in the draft, like you saw from the under 16. So, you know, people lose their way over a 2-year period. From the 16s, and the 16s from 2 years ago, so that's this draft year, I thought was a pretty average carnival. So, and that can happen. You can have an average carnival and ends up being good, and you can have vice versa. You think it's a great carnival, and the draft can be not as good as you think it is when it comes around. But this year, I really like it. I reckon it's got a heap of depth, and it's got Every position covered virtually, even ruckman for a change, Dwayne. Key backs, key forwards, mids, running backs, wing small forwards. It's got the lot this year. Oakley and Geelong will probably be the two best teams in the NAB. Oakley had 11 17-year-olds playing their premiership-winning team last year, which is unheard of. And so they will be very hard to beat. And Geelong, I reckon it's the best crop they've ever had of 18-year-olds.
That's saying something, because Geelong's been pretty good for... They've had some good footy players over the time. So you've got some names for me. Matt, are you allowed to tell us some names, or is that dossier you've prepared for Collingwood, Collingwood's property now? What if someone else recruits you? Are you allowed to take it there?
I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not holding high hopes for unless we can get people back to footy. There's going to be a lot more people lose their jobs in the AFL scene. Unfortunately, Dwayne, I see that they're talking about the soft cap being $6.2 million. Yep. But if we can't get crowds back next year, it might even be worse than that. And certainly. People in administration are going to lose their jobs because you need to have crowds back. And because the fact of the matter is, Dwayne, if you can't have crowds back, who's going to sign up for a membership?
Yeah.
I know they've forked out for this year and a lot of people have left their money in there, but if you can't go to the footy next year, you're not going to buy one. And that is a massive hole in footy clubs. So they need to get crowds back some way, somehow, for next year.
Yeah.
The clear number one pick is a Western Bulldogs player. Unfortunately for everyone else, Jamal Ugal-Hagan is a key forward, much in the Buddy mould. He's a kid from Warrnambool who's now up with the Western Jets. He just looks the goods. I saw him get a fair bit of physical pressure put on him earlier this year by a Sandringham Dragons player last year, And he didn't seem to handle it that well, but I saw him later in the year and he did handle it really well. I was very impressed how he handled the physical pressure, because clearly a star he was as a bottom ager. And Western Bulldogs are coming out of this great, because they got another one, Cody Rark. It could easily be a top 20 player. He was also an NGA kid. There's a kid that played with Rao and Anderson and more than held his own against Rao, playing in the same team, Will Phillips. Very similar player. Low to the ground, tough, super work ethic like Rao. So you know why they won the flag last year. Anderson, Rao, and this kid Phillips in the same team in the midfield. And there's a couple of good Geelong players like Tanner Bruin. I think will be a beauty there. There's tools like Riley Silthorpe in South Australia, who's going to be top 10. Gold Coast are coming out of this looking magnificent, because all their players in the draft go to the back of the draft, so no one can bid on them. And they got a beauty in Davies. They've got three Northern Territorians, which is highly unusual. So hopefully this is a trend that continues. Jeffrey Lake and Louis, I think you pronounce it, L-U-I. So hopefully they turn out all right for them. Essendon got a couple of key defenders. Key Tall in Brand and Air. Port Adelaide have got a fantastic player in Jones, who could easily be top 10. Aboriginal kid, half back, tough as teak. Sydney Swans have got probably the best kick I've ever seen in the draft in Braden Campbell, left footer, magnificent.
Gee, they need a good kick too. That's music to their ears.
Oh, Jesus, he didn't kick the ball. It's just poetry watching it. Adelaide Pros have got a fantastic small Aboriginal forward in Newchurch from Port Augusta, Edwards, obviously father son, and Bo Lacey, key back. You would have played with his dad quite a bit,
Daisy. Dwayne, yep, I would have absolutely. Thought. Yeah, strange that he's not eligible under the father son, to be honest. But that's another argument
for
another time.
You know the story behind that?
Well, he's about eight games short, isn't he?
No, he's. He went to work in Egypt. The dad.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
The mum and dad had the baby. It was him, born in Egypt, so he qualifies under the NGA for the Crows because he was born in Egypt. Oh, it's just ridiculous.
Wow. So he's from a footy family because of that. That's great. Who's that?
Yeah. Frio come out of all right. They got two brothers, the Walker twins, from, I reckon they're from Ghana. Couple of beauties and a small forward in Weston, Joel Weston. He's a cracker as well. I'm sort of going through the NGA father son because this year is unique. So out of the top 30, I reckon I've got 15 players who are NGA father son or academy players, which means there's going to be a truckload of bidding. So the really interesting one is whoever has first pick in the draft, and well, right here, right now. I mean, you're probably saying Crows or Freo, especially with Fife, if he stays out a while. I don't know. It's too hard to pick, isn't it? But it'd be really interesting to see if someone bids on Newgal Hagen with their first pick.
But you would?
Oh, I would. Absolutely. But it depends who's got the first pick, because sometimes they don't like to bid too early, especially if they've got a few coming through next year, so 2021. So, for example... Nick Dacos is father-son for Collingwood next year. Well, he's as good a junior as I've seen play the game. He played...
Hang on. I just back over that? So the younger son of the great Dacos is the best... Peter Dacos is the best player you've seen right come through.
He's right up there. So he played with Rowland Anderson for Carey in school, and more than held his own. And that's 2 years younger than him. He is a really good player. So
is he like Peter? Is he sort of a low centre of gravity, mid-sized player?
He is taller, though. He can mark the ball and tends to play more midfield role. He's taller than his brother, Josh.
Yep.
Look. I would say right here, right now, he goes number one, but it is a cracking top 10 next year in the 2021. Wow. It's a cracking top 10. I would say number one, but if he's not in the top three, I'll give the game away. So that's something for the Collingwood people to look forward to. Look, Collingwood aren't going to get away from having to, you know, pay a price for him. You know, someone will bid in the top five, surely. And they know that. You can't hide him anywhere. He's too good a player. So interesting how clubs bid on other players, especially if they know they've got something coming through the system the following year, because they don't want to put anyone offside if you bid too high and make them pay a higher price than they really want to play. So going to be really interesting draft night. The other thing I'll say about it too is if people have pissed about watching AFL at the moment. Sounds like there's a lot of talk about it. Well, there is a lot of talk about it. Go watch the NAB when it starts up, because it's pure footy. They play the density rule. I've explained that before to you, Dwayne, how that works.
So you think that could work at AFL level, but it would take a level of trust from the coaches?
Absolutely works at AFL level. And I spoke to you early in the year and told them they should play it, bring it in for the pre-season games.
Yeah,
and then have a review afterwards, go, well, this is what we want to do, and get the response from the coaches, players and the like. Obviously, that didn't happen, but I got a feeling something big's going to happen in it, Dwayne, because paying extra free kicks isn't going to help. Increasing the marking, the distance for marks isn't going to help. But this allows positional play, and that's what people want to see, and they want to see the ground lengthened and opened up. They don't want to see the gut. 36 players within a 50-80-metre circumference, do they?
Kicking through the 18-man grid's the problem.
Absolutely. Do you know who started that, the zoning?
No.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, because I know you go back further than most people would go back.
The original one was Collingwood back in 1986 when they pulled a 12-man zone on a kick-out against us at Fitzroy and bamboozled us. We had all these kick-out drills.
Yep.
But the first person to do it...
Butter Hocking did take all of his players out of the centre for one bounce in the waffle, didn't he? And just concede the centre clearance and have every player behind the ball inside defensive 50. That's probably the most first extreme example of it.
Well, that was extreme. Jared Neeson, when he coached Frio, employed a full ground zone. Now, Jared Neeson's background was in water polo.
Yeah.
And water polo, it is all zoning. Is there seven in a water polo in the water at any one time? Is it
I'm
seven?
Not sure.
Yeah, okay. So it's a zone, the water polo. He decided to implement it in the AFL. Now, it didn't work in the AFL for a couple of reasons. One, the ground was, you know, their ground at Subiaco is too long. So there's too much space. It's an extra 20 metres longer than the MCG, I think, about 180. So it's narrower, but it's longer. And it was too hard to zone. Plus, the blokes weren't fit enough to do the zoning there. They're a lot fitter now. It's 23, 24 years on. So, but he definitely bought in the zoning and to see if it worked. But it didn't quite work for him. He's probably lost his job over it too. Now they've perfected it beautifully, haven't they? And it hasn't been great for footy. Although I must say, really enjoyed St Kilda Richmond game.
Yep.
Fast, up and down, two attacking teams. And for a different reason, I really enjoyed the GWS Collingwood game, which was like a final, I thought.
Matt.
So there's good games and bad games.
Yep, there are, as there always has been. Great to have a chat to you, Matt. I think a lot of fans got heaps out of what you had to say about, Jamar Ugal-Hagan and all those names that you mentioned, Will Phillips as a possible number two pick. So we will keep touch with you, and there'll be an AFL club pick you up before too long. Thanks a lot for your time, Matt. We'll talk soon.
No worries, Dwayne. Pleasure.
Matt Rendell, recruiting expert, giving us the rundown on what this draft looks like. And 2021, Nick Dacos, best kid of his age ever. There you go, Collingwood fans. You got that to get excited about.